Many federal agencies already screen their employees for synthetic opioids like hydrocodone and oxycodone as part of the government's drug testing program. But effective April 1st, next week, opioid screening will become mandatory government-wide. The changes are part of new guidelines the Health and Human Services Department issued after more than 2 years of public comment. Ron Flagel is the director of the Division of Workplace Programs in HHS's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about what's changing and why.
Specifically within the urine mandatory guidelines that will become or will implement on October 1 will be the inclusion of the semi-synthetic opioids, which includes hydrocodone, oxycodone, hydromorphone, and hydrocodone. So those specifically, those semi-synthetic opioids will be added to the drug testing panel. And again, the federal agencies do have authority to add those to their federally regulated drug testing panels. We've also increased the pH value for validity testing from 3 to 4. This looks at valid samples or adulterated samples. So again, what used to be an adulterated sample was below 3. Now an adulterated sample will be below 4. We've also removed the MDEA in the confirmation analyte and not replace that. We can also see that within the amphetamine screens under the confirmation for MDMA and MDA. So we can also see MDEA, so we've replaced that.
Yeah, can you just say a word about what MDEA actually is and what we mean by confirmation screen?
Yeah, MDEA is actually, well, to back up, a confirmatory screen is within the federally regulated drug testing program. A sample goes through what's called an initial screening phase. If it's a presumptive positive, then it will go on through a confirmatory phase, which actually looks at the specific analyte. For instance, with amphetamines, we look at amphetamines, methamphetamine. We also look at MDMA, or better known as ecstasy, MDEA, and MDA. MDEA is just it's either a precursor or a metabolite, depending on the analyte. Of the amphetamines, some of those being what you could see on the metabolites of ecstasy.
Got it. So under the mandate that you have by statute and by executive order to set the standards, what sorts of discretion do you have in deciding what types of substances to test for? I mean, is the objective to screen for literally all illegal drugs, or is there a particular emphasis on drugs that have the most effect on workplace performance or the most dangerous? How do you decide?
This was actually was a decision that was set forth in a recommendation from the Drug Testing Advisory Board, and that was in 2012. The recommendation was to include oral fluid as an alternate matrix, as well as include the synthetic opioids in the mandatory guidelines for urine. So upon that inclusion or recommendation that went to the administrator of SAMHSA, that also went through the Surgeon General, et cetera, to get inclusion into that in agreement that that was a drug of analyte or analytes of choice that they could use for drug testing or would be considered as a drug that could cause safety sensitive issues. Within that, under the executive order of public law, we're required to drug test for either Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 drugs. The semi-synthetic opioids are Schedule 2 drugs. So for that, there was the inclusion of those in the mandatory guidelines. But it's not quite as easy as that. It's not quite as simple. In that recommendation to include those in the revised guidelines, again, it has to go through federal agency comment. It goes through Office of Management and Budget. It goes out for public comment, and the public comments come back. We revise those based on the recommendation. But also, since both NRC and Department of Transportation also uses our mandatory guidelines in their laboratory testing and being required to use what the HHS mandatory guidelines select as analytes, for testing, they also included them in their NPRM, or Notice for Public Rulemaking, in January of 2017.
Yeah, so just to make sure we're clear on that, as I understand it, the guidelines that you set forth are applicable to testing for employees in federal agencies, but DOT also incorporates them by reference for testing of employees that they cover in regulated industries like pipelines, like trucking. Is that about right?
That is correct. In 49 CFR Part 40, they adopt the analytes that we have set forth in the mandatory guidelines.
So from the standpoint of a federal employee who's subject to testing, am I right in assuming that these changes are going to be pretty transparent, maybe with the exception of the availability now of the oral testing route?
I think within the federal agencies, there are requirements that federal agency employees are notified that are in testing designated positions. We've sent out memorandums and assurance letters to the federal agencies to make sure that their drug-free workplace programs include the opioids in the documentation, also within the drug-free workplace programs themselves and the policy and the issues. They also are notified usually 30 to 60 days prior to the occurrence of this testing. It is authorized to test for the semi-synthetic opioids. That does not mean that a federal agency is required to test for the synthetic opioids. Mm. So currently, within the mandatory guidelines as written, the only two drugs that are required are marijuana and cocaine. Those are the two drugs that are required to test for. The other drugs are authorized, and as you're probably aware, almost all federal agencies do test for all drugs that are authorized within the mandatory guidelines.
Well, even though this has been the case, as you say, and there has been testing for semi-synthetic opioids in the past, how do you deal with what would seem like a potential problem for false positives, since some of these drugs also obviously have medical uses?
Correct. There, a number of those are prescription opioids. We've made it very clear in the MRO manual or guidance manual of how medical review officers should make a determination if an employee or a federal employee is taking a prescription drug, whether it's a valid prescription, it's within the time frame, it's what they're supposed to be taking as far as the length of time that they were supposed to be taking it for the prescribed medical condition. So there, again, there's a number of issues laid out in the medical review officer guidance manual as to how to look at these prescription drugs. And again, a valid prescription will be a negative. It's not taking away any prescription drugs from anyone. So it will be determined by the medical review officer in the interview as to if this person has taken the prescription drug legally.
Got it. This may be slightly off topic, but I'm just wondering if data on the outcome of tests is aggregated anywhere beyond just agency by agency. I mean, does this enable you to do any kind of government-wide surveillance as far as addiction trends or anything like that?
No, not within the data that we capture. Again, I don't believe that would be captured even in any of the data that DOT themselves. We federal agencies do, most of the federal agencies do capture the data for their own federal agency, but again, that federal data we don't really capture as a database or any of that where we would do trends. As you are aware, SAMHSA does do a lot of other trending for data when it comes to NISTA data or the DAWN data.
Only reason I brought that up is I'd just be curious to know if there are any differences between the federal workforce and the U.S. population at large in terms of addiction trends, but that may or may not be unknown.
Well, again, it is somewhat known because if you look at Quest Diagnostics Drug Testing Index, or the DTI, you can differentiate between safety-sensitive positions and non-regulated positions. But unfortunately, in the regulated positions, they have not had the semi-synthetic opioids tested because it wasn't approved. But in the non-regulated sector, they've been testing semi-synthetic opioids for years. So there is a significant difference between, when you look at positivity rates of the opioids, between regulated and non-regulated for the ones that were tested on a case-by-case basis. But again, as we move forward, I think the data will show very clearly in the regulated versus the non-regulated sectors what's happening in the opioid crisis, I would say.
Got it. In deciding how to structure the program, do you consider costs at all, both to the agencies and to the labs that they contract with to do the tests?
And again, within the mandatory guidelines, although we do look at cost as spelled out in the preamble as far as the testing, what a federal agency, the price, et cetera, what a federal agency would see, a lot of those costs are costs that are negotiated in contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we don't really have anything to do with the financial implications. within the federal agency themselves, under the authority, they're given specific funds to use those funds for drug testing. And that has to be spelled out within their drug-free workplace program. And so they're appropriated funds from Congress for specifically for that drug testing.
Does SAMHSA provide anything specific to the federal community in terms of treatment of overcoming addiction? Or is that, again, something that's really handled agency by agency?
And again, we're putting together a number of information as well as information that's provided by SAMHSA that will be available. Prevention is one of those that we will have. We do have a number of toolkits available. We have webinars. We have fact sheets. So there's a number of that information right now being currently put together. And actually, we're finalizing all of that information now so that it can be sent out to every federal agency that implements the opioid testing so they can get that information to their employees.